Miners have committed to meeting the net zero emissions target by 2050. Exxaro may be Eskom's biggest coal supplier at the moment, but holding its end of the deal, the miner will be diversifying earnings away from carbon-based commodities to focus on renewable energy and minerals. And company CEO Mxolisi Mngojo joins us now from COP26 for more on the group's energy transition strategy and how it impacts the business moving forward. Thanks so much, Mxolisi, for your time this evening. So like I say, Exxaro, part of the South African delegation currently at COP26, and the assumption is that it's an awkward position to be in with the decommissioning of coal mines firmly on the agenda. That being said, though, what weighs heavier? Because surely you've also got to consider being part of the solution, policies, future readying of your operations, rather than having to be left out in the cold.
No, thank you very much for the invite. Let me just highlight that, you know, for Exxaro, we have seen the need for this transition for quite some time now. It's almost a 10-year journey whereby already we have invested in renewable energy. We have wind farms that we own to the tune of 229 megawatts. We have come out very clearly stating to the market that we have a very firm position on how we want to be carbon neutral by 2050 and the various steps that we are going to be taking. And as part of that is the strategy that we are driving now in terms of really focusing on building a renewable energy business side by side with our existing coal business, while at the same time, we are also looking at how we're going to start decarbonizing our carbon footprint within our own coal business by looking at other initiatives like own self-generation, looking at how we reduce use of our water efficiency, energy efficiency, while at the same time looking at minerals, other minerals that are going to be actually driving a new green economy into the future. And so we have decided that we're going to play in this space. But also very critical is also part of that is this whole drive on of this just transition, whereby we are looking at how we want to really repurpose and rethink about how we look at land, our use of land, in such a manner that we can start creating new economies with the land that we have so that we can ensure that we have sustainable communities, not only during the time that we are actually there mining, but post-mine closure, where now mine has been re-looked at in terms of how it can be used for alternative uses around regenerative farming and other uses that we can think much more imaginatively to ensure that we don't actually leave people behind. So that is how we've been addressing this. So coming to COP is actually a very exciting time for us, because then we are basically talking and supporting the agenda, the government agenda, towards this energy transition, but in a manner that we don't leave people behind.
Yeah, that being said, Mxolisi, are you still pretty apprehensive about timelines? Because you have been very vocal in the past about countries like South Africa being afforded the same energy transition Europe, for example, allowed itself with long transitions in play.
Well, I think that is part of what we are also saying as South Africa, that, you know, by and large, in as much as we are very much pro ensuring that we deal with climate issues insofar as understanding the urgency around this. But at the same time, we've got a very complex challenge in South Africa, whereby with this high level of unemployment, high levels of inequality, poverty, that these transitions don't happen overnight. These transitions are very costly transitions, and a lot of the first developing countries need almost to be given the same space as the developed countries with which they have had this transition happening over decades. Mm-hmm. And it's going to require a lot of financial commitment, because a lot of their transitions were also financed by their governments to ensure that they happened. So this is going to require us to do this thing in a very, very pragmatic way. As I'm talking right now, there is a panel that is sitting here of the whole transition conversation just transition conversation where you've got the unions here, you've got civil society here, you've got business here, talking about what's going to be needed and realized to ensure that this thing happens. And therefore, it's going to require a multi-stakeholder engagement in making sure that we do this thing in a responsible way.
So what are you making of the funding commitments that have already been put on the table, Mholisi? Because like you say, this has to be a process of just transition to a low-carbon economy. So how are you helping to navigate what that process is going to look like so the transition doesn't necessarily mean job losses as skills of context old then become obsolete?
Well, first of all, I think we should be very proud as a country that, by and large, we have been probably the first country where firm commitments have been made, $8.5 billion. But that's just the beginning of the journey. Because until we define what and how this money and where this money and in what form it's going to be used, then we are not going to get to the right landing. So there's a lot of work that still needs to happen when we all get back home. We need to really understand the whole aspect, not only just looking at from a technological point of view, but how that will then filter into a structure that will be able to say there's alignment within the country of how these funds are going to be used and where the critical areas need to be supported. So there's a lot of work about defining the projects. It's easy to talk about hydrogen, it's easy to talk about repurposing of power stations, but how do you then, what other projects have to be there to ensure that not only are new jobs being created, but also you uplift all of society in the process? What projects have to be put in place to enable that?
Yeah.
So this is just the beginning of, I think, a much more in-depth conversation now that's going to talk to the real implementation of this journey.
Before I let you go, what's the reading on your confidence barometer as far as being able to put forward a coordinated approach as far as implementation is concerned?
Well, it's not about where my confidence lies. It's the question is that what role am I going to play in making sure that this actually happens? Because it's going to be a collective effort. It's going to be a big job for all of us. So if we don't have confidence in the ability to do it, then we may not as well start. But it's a journey that we've never been in before. So let's also realize that this is a new pathway for all of us. So we are all going to be figuring it out. We're all going to be working together to try and make this thing happen. So I think what we should be saying is that what type of outcomes that we are committing to make this thing happen.
Absolutely. Let's leave it there. Mholisi, thanks so much for having joined us all the way from Glasgow. Of course, that's Mholisi Mngojo, who's CEO of Exxaro.